In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Let us kneel. Come and save us, O Lord our God. Come and help us with all the force of thy grace. Be quick to deliver us from evil. Be not angry, O Lord, remember no more our iniquities. Come and save us, O Lord our God. Alleluia. I ask that you respond to each invocation. Come and save us. O wisdom proceeding from the Most High. O Adonai and leader of the house of Israel. O root of Jesse given as a sign for all peoples. O key of David who opens and no one can shut. O dayspring, brightness of light eternal and sun of justice. O King and desire of the nations. O Emmanuel, our King and lawgiver. O Mary, thou art all fair, the original stain is not in thee. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the great honor of our people, thou art the advocate of sinners. O Mary, Virgin most prudent, Mother most clement, pray for us. Intercede for us with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray in preparation for Christmas. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born, of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and His Blessed Mother. Amen. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and Holy Mass begins, Gaudete in Domino. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord because He is near. Because He is near, there is also something else that we must do. Not only rejoice in the Lord, but also prepare for the Lord. Preparet Dominum. Prepare for the Lord because He is near. So, on this third Sunday of Advent, we can highlight, rejoice in the Lord, prepare for the Lord. Both of them because He is near. In many ways, through all of the Masses during Advent, God is calling us very clearly to prepare for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. To prepare for Christmas, and especially to prepare for His second coming. Take a few moments to just reflect on today's Holy Gospel. Today's Holy Gospel is taken from St. John chapter 1. And the main person in the Gospel passage today is St. John the Baptist. He's the main one at first glance. But at second and third glances, there can be no question that the main one is our Savior Jesus Christ. Because everything that St. John the Baptist is doing is he's doing it to prepare for the coming of the one whom he is not worthy to even untie his sandal. And St. John himself in today's Holy Gospel, he explains what his mission is, saying that he is a voice crying out in the desert. Make straight the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Straighten your heart. Straighten your life. Prepare. One example then of God calling us to prepare is today's Holy Gospel. Not just today's Holy Gospel. Recall the epistle from two Sundays ago. The epistle for the first Sunday of Advent from Romans chapter 13. Listen with faith. Because God is speaking to us now. Brethren, knowing that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, that is, be awake, be vigilant, be prepared. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is past and the day is at hand. Again, even that phrase, the night is past, the day is at hand. Wake up, be alert, be prepared, be ready. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be prepared. You can summarize all of that by saying, be prepared. Be prepared for the coming of the Lord. This is the message of St. John the Baptist. This is the purpose of the season of Advent. One other example from last Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent. Pay close attention to what Holy Mother Church prayed, not only on last Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, but every single day of this past week. Because this is the collect prayer for the second Sunday of Advent, and it's prayed every single weekday, ferial day of Advent. So even when we have like another saint, like for example on Thursday that we celebrated the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Well, the first collect prayer was proper to Our Lady of Guadalupe. But then this collect prayer that I'm about to point out to you was prayed right after. And so, consider the significance. For 8 consecutive days, these past 8 days, this has been the prayer of Holy Mother Church. I'll just read the very first petition of the collect prayer. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the ways of thine only begotten Son. We're begging God to move our hearts. And this is extremely significant. Because I preach and I preach and hearts aren't moved. And that's fine. Because what moves hearts is God's grace. God is the one who moves our hearts. So often, we continue doing and thinking the same because we don't cooperate with God's grace. But just consider how important this is that Holy Mother Church is praying this petition day after day after day after day during this second week of Advent, this week that just ended. Praying, begging God, stir up our hearts, move our hearts so that we will prepare and make it personal, so that I may prepare well for the coming of Savior. Just think about all the different petitions that we have. I think that every single one of us, there's always petitions that we have to present to God every single day. Whether we're asking God to give us good health, or to help certain members of our family, or certain friends that we have, or to help certain people that are sick, or that are far away from God, or praying for the grace of conversion. You know, we're making all kinds of petitions to God. And arguably, the most important petition that the Church Universal is making for these past 8 days is praying for God's grace to stir up our hearts, so that we will prepare for the coming of His Son. That's how important it is to prepare. Preparation, speaking of prepare for the Lord, preparate Dominum, speaking of preparation, preparation is one of the grand laws of the divine economy. That means of God's plan. The way that God works. So, God isn't only asking us to prepare. But This is what God Himself does. This is what is also so remarkable, that God Himself, when we reflect on how He has willed to carry out His plan of salvation. Preparation is one of the grand laws of how He works. That's what it means when we say that preparation is one of the grand laws of the divine economy. The Old Testament, in all that it embraces, is but one great example of preparation. That's what the Old Testament is. And that's why the Old Testament can never be properly interpreted and appreciated apart from Jesus Christ. Apart from the Holy Gospels. Apart from the true Catholic religion. Because the entire Old Testament is preparation. It's not an end in itself. Everything that's going on in the Old Testament is preparing for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. Referring to the Old Testament, it's history and genealogies, it's rites and sacrifices, it's miracles and providences, it's prophets and other great personages, all are shaped out and directed by God towards the one great mystery of the incarnation of His divine Son. You can basically say 4,000 years of the Old Testament preparing for the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. This is the hand of God in the Old Testament. I mean, in the history of the world and among the chosen people of Israel. The very Advent wreath is a symbol of this. Of all this preparation that's taking place in the Old Testament. One candle also symbolizing 1,000 years, so the 4,000 years of the Old Testament. The wreath itself is a very powerful symbol to us of how God has willed to prepare the world and to prepare hearts for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of great persons that God raises up in the Old Testament to prepare the way for His Son. Abraham, we call him our father in faith. Already there, the great mission of Abraham is to begin preparing, we could say in a more direct and immediate way, for the coming of the Savior, Isaac, his son. And the sacrifice of Isaac, the fact that Abraham is at the point of sacrificing his own son. All of this is prefiguring the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, who indeed will be sacrificed. But every great person there in the Old Testament, Moses, liberating, leading the people of Israel out of the slavery of Egypt, it's a figure of our Savior Jesus Christ, who's going to lead all of us out of the slavery of sin. Moses, Joseph, Samson, Samuel, David, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. All of them prefiguring and preparing for the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The closer we get to the actual incarnation, the more grace God pours forth in preparation. Again, we're talking about the ways of God. And that's why in these final 2 weeks of Advent, this week, the third week, next week, the fourth week, our focus is especially on St. John the Baptist, today's Holy Gospel, St. John the Baptist and the Blessed Virgin Mary. You cannot find anyone really in the entire Old Testament, entire history of everything, who are not greater signs for us that the Lord is about to come. Christ is about to be born. The Messiah is about to come than St. John the Baptist and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And here there is, God's grace is greatly at work. Consider for just a few moments Mary's Immaculate Conception. It's very significant. that we also celebrate this great, great Marian feast during Advent. And today is the final day of the octave of the Immaculate Conception. Some of you that were in the Masses during the week, you'll recall how the last couple of days I was drawing connections between the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Immaculate Conception that are very, very real. The main point right now is this. Consider how marvelously God works in preparing the Blessed Virgin Mary to be His most holy mother. That's the Immaculate Conception. Mary is conceived without sin, perfectly pure, perfectly holy, perfectly consecrated to God, perfectly consecrated to her mission as Mother of God, so that she may be a worthy mother of the Savior. Preparation for the coming of the Savior. The day of Mary's Immaculate Conception, so we can say December the 8th, 9 months before she's born, September the 8th, the day of her Immaculate Conception is one of the greatest signs in the history of mankind that the Savior is about to be born, that the Savior is about to come. The Savior who has been awaited for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. His birth is very near because she who is to be His mother is now being prepared. I mean, she begins to exist completely free from original sin. Obviously in view of the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ, His passion and death on the cross. But all of this is hopefully to help you to appreciate how significant preparation is. Particularly for the birth of our Savior. And what we should do now is, especially given the purpose of Advent, is we should be transferring that and saying how important it is to prepare for the glorious coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, when He will come to judge the living and the dead. But if preparation is so important to God, well then, how are we going to prepare for Christmas? Christmas is only 10 days away. Tomorrow we begin the final 9 days to Christmas. How are we going to prepare for Christmas? Certainly, look, don't waste the days. Don't let the days go by without you making a real effort to prepare yourself, considering how important preparation is. Again, God spent centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries preparing mankind for the first Christmas. Surely you and I can make an extra effort and sacrifice to prepare ourselves well for Christmas. Which again is why I encourage all of you to make a special effort, make a sacrifice. And I'm not saying it's easy. Everybody I know has things they need to do. Make a special effort to prepare for Christmas by attending as many of the posadas as possible. This is a wonderful gift that you can give to baby Jesus this Christmas. That is, having prepared, that you with a sincere and pure heart can tell the divine child that you've prepared for His nativity for 9 consecutive days in the company of Mary and Joseph. For those who, for whatever reason, cannot make the posadas, do the very best you can to pray them wherever you are, to pray at least the Holy Rosary, to read from the, particularly I would say, from the passages of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, to continue praying, or if you haven't prayed it, then start praying, but to pray the Christmas Novena, the St. Andrew Novena that we pray from November the 30th to December the 24th. Obviously, any small act that we can make of prayer, of fasting and or abstinence and almsgiving is a way that we can prepare for Christmas, for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to recommend another specific way that you can prepare for Christmas. Again, beginning today, or especially tomorrow, the last 9 days. And that's, I mentioned this already at the beginning of Advent, but I mention it again because I hope that many of you will make the effort to do this. And it's read and reflect on St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. It's not difficult to remember. Just remember December the 25th, Matthew the 25th, Matthew 25. You've got two 25s there. If Christmas Day is on the 25th of December, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, basically it's divided into three parts, into three, you could say, little parables. And all of the parables are speaking to us, Jesus himself is speaking about the kingdom of heaven. He's also speaking very specifically about his glorious coming, that he is going to come. And the great message of each one is to prepare yourself. You have the first parable, you could summarize it by saying, be prepared, prepare yourself because this is coming. And then the second one, same thing. Be prepared, prepare yourself because this is coming. And then the third one, really the climax, same thing. Be prepared. And so I encourage you, read Matthew chapter 25. And really place yourself there. And reflect on how well you are prepared. How important it is that you prepare. And what you can do to prepare. Just to kind of give you a little bit of an orientation, in case you can't think right now of what we're talking about in Matthew 25. These are the first verses that introduce the first parable. Again, our Lord speaking. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom and the bride. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. 5 were prepared, 5 were not. And again, as you read these passages, and again, they're passages that you should read and reread and reflect and re-reflect. Place yourself in them. Don't fall prey to all of the lies and heresies and falsehoods that are being spread around today, where all this thing about, you know, we really don't have to worry because God is merciful and everybody's going to get to heaven. It could not be clearer after reflecting on Matthew chapter 25. One after another, and the last one, you know, the three examples. It's telling you completely the opposite of this idea that everyone's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And this first parable already makes it very clear. There are 5 that are prepared, and there are 5 that are not prepared. It doesn't tell you that everybody's prepared. If we prepare for weddings, that's specifically here what's going on. The virgins waiting for the bridegroom and the bride. If we prepare ourselves for weddings and if we prepare for different celebrations, how should we prepare for the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ? And even more so for His glorious coming. And then we move on to the second parable. Again, driving home how important that preparation is. Again, the first verses that introduce the parable. Watch ye therefore, because you know not the day nor the hour. That's straight from Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Watch ye therefore, because you know not the day nor the hour. Be prepared. You don't know when you're going to be called to give an account. For even as a man going into a far country called his servants and delivered to them his goods, and to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to everyone according to his proper ability, and immediately he took his journey. So the three servants each received talents according to their proper ability. Use the talents that God has given you. Be prepared. And then the final one, again, truly the climax, just the verses introducing the third parable in Matthew 25. And when the Son of Man shall come in His majesty, and all the angels with Him. This is something that, again, I encourage you to do as you prepare for Christmas. Picture this in your mind. This is going to take place. This is a great truth of our Catholic religion. It's a great truth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Picture it. The Son of Man shall come in His majesty, and all the angels with Him. Then shall He sit upon the seat of His majesty. And all nations shall be gathered together before Him. Every single soul, no exceptions. And all nations shall be gathered together before Him. And He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.